welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for October 29th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and joining me in cyberspace before he goes to Hokkaido is Jim Allen. What's happening, bud?
Remind me why I'm going to Hokkaido, because it's looking like there's nothing's going to happen up there.
Good food. Good eats.
Yes, well, let's hope something happens, because sweeps are, even if you're on the sweeping end, a sweep is never pretty.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. Yeah, I was really anticipating a 1-1 series going up to Hokkaido, but hey, what can you do? So this episode, we're going to discuss round two of the CL Climax series. We're going to talk about the first two games of the Japan series and touch on a couple other topics. So let's start clearing the bases.
I'm getting excited, man.
Settle down. It's too late at night to get excited.
That's what she said.
too much office there. All right, so we're going to go chronologically here. So we will talk about Series 6.7, the CLCS, Game 6 or 7, whichever way you want to look at it. The Dragons won 3 games. The Giants won 3 games, but the Giants won the series because... Remind me again why?
There was a gift from God.
God doesn't care about baseball.
No.
Because if God cared about baseball, never mind.
If God cared about baseball, the San Francisco Giants would have won a World Series before 2010. Okay.
The Giants?
What about
the Chicago Cubs? Hello?
Yeah, but they've been lousy. That's like saying, Edsel, you know, your beat up 1965 Volkswagen Beetle should be as good as a Lexus. You know, the Cubs are not quality. That's the problem. They had a couple of decent teams, and
Hey, more than 100 years. Give me a break. Let's talk about Japan. Let's talk about why this guy who's sitting on the bench, acting like he's the manager of the Chunichi Dragons, is the manager of the Chunichi Dragons.
Well, because he knows he's not the pitching coach. Although the pitching coach now knows he's not the pitching coach.
I was going to say, the pitching coach who thought he might be a manager one day is now, well, he was put out of work, obviously. Hiroshi Gondo was fired after the Dragons lost.
Put out of work twice.
But, the Dragons didn't, they couldn't pull it off. They couldn't finish off that CLCS. They had a 3-1 advantage, and the Giants won 3 straight, and they won the 6th game where Junki Ito starts. Now, what was that all about?
Yeah, that was a case of, I don't think it was the worst decision they could have made.
Well, they could have tried to start somebody who was hurt, or they could have tried to start somebody like you or me. Other than that, I don't think there was any worse decision.
Well, I think what happens is they're looking, oh, okay, Utsumi pitched on 3 days rest. This is a guy who starts a lot. So let's have Junki Ito throw on 3 days rest. Which is sort of like saying, I like pumpkins, so let's order bananas. It's like, okay, I like to have 3 pumpkins, so we'll have 3 bananas instead. Right.
Yes,
okay.
I thought Yudai Ono, who pitched game 1 for him, would have been good because he had more rest. Now, they didn't pitch, I mean,
Yudai was better for them after the game was lost.
Yeah, he was the best pitcher that night, but...
Sure was. So let's, I guess, bring this back for the fans out there who aren't privy to our innermost thoughts. Okay, so Junki Ito starts on 3 days rest against DJ Holton, who starts on 3 days rest. And Junki Ito is the first pitcher in the series for the Dragons, who the Giants have faced any time recently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, so far, the first of 5 starting pitchers are Yudai Ono, who the Giants faced in one relief outing this year.
Mm-hmm.
They get Junki Ito, who they faced, they got Junki Ito once this year. Yudai Ono, I think, also one relief appearance this year. Then they get Masahiro Yamamoto, who they have not faced for 2 years. And then they get Kawakami, who pitched 6 innings against them in July. Okay, so they've basically sent 4 pitchers the Giants that were not fresh in the Giants' mind. And then on 3 days rest, they get a second look at Jun Kiito, and he wasn't nearly as good as he was the first time, and he gets whacked. Although he pitched, you know, he pitched really tough, for a while. He pitched tough, you know, as tough as he could, but he didn't have it, and the Giants were whacking him.
He got knocked out in the second inning.
Okay, oh, excuse me. I'm confusing two different games, so just excuse that. Okay, so the Giants whacked him around.
Like a whack-a-mole.
A whack-a-mole. What's a whack-a-mole?
You know the game where you go and you hit the moles that pop up?
It's called a whack-a-mole?
Whack-a-mole.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought Yudai Ohno would have been a good start, because if you don't like what he's doing, you yank him after when his first turn in the batting order comes up.
Right.
You know, if he doesn't look good. But I don't think he could have done any worse. And he's left-handed, so I don't know. I think... Takagi, and the game was 4-2, the Dragons lost, so it wasn't like Ito got knocked all over the park. They didn't really give him a chance, and they got out of it. And then everybody else pitched fairly well the rest of the way. It was just the one bad inning that doomed them.
It was, and the Giants had been kind of, and I mentioned this last week, that the Giants, through the first three games, had an eerie number of balls hit right at people.
Mm-hmm.
And that it just sort of normalized from game four. They just got, ball acted normally. You know, they hit balls at people, but they hit balls in between them the way the Dragons had been doing pretty much the whole series. It just sort of even, you know, the luck just turned normal. It was a little against them the first, several times in the first three games. Okay, so that happened. So they get behind, and then, Motonobu Tanishiga, who I'm really glad is still playing. He's a very accessible guy, and he's a hell of a player. I mean, he's had what a heck of a career. But he really needed a couple of better swings, and he stranded. Let's see, there were five runners on base in his first two at bats in game 6.5.
You know, I joked on Twitter that he had stranded enough people on base to fill Shibuya Ward.
Oh.
In the series. He was, that's just where he is in his career as a hitter. I have no problem with him as a catcher and as a player altogether in a season. But you know what? At some point, Takagi's just got to say, you know what? I have to hit for this guy.
Right. And I think, and that was the time to do it. And he pulled the trigger too late. He got a big walk out of him the third time he came up. He came up the first three times with runners on base, with runners in scoring position, bases loaded once, first and second once. I'm going to say first and third the last time, and he drew a walk to load the bases.
In game six, okay.
And then they bring in a pinch hitter to hit for the pitcher,
yeah.
And nothing happens with that. That was Yamasaki Takeshi, I think.
Well, I was also saying that Takagi, he never pinch hit for his worst hitter,
right?
Under any circumstances, and I joked then. I think it was on the Facebook page. I said, "Hey, Takagi, when's the wedding? You know, when are you going to marry Tanishige? Because you just put us out of our misery. You guys act like you're married. You stand by your man at every chance you get. I mean, they went down to their last out in the ninth inning, and not their last out. It was one out, and they got a runner on." And it's a great time to pinch hit for him. And what does he do? He sends Shige up there, and I'm like, come on.
Send him up there to bunt, yeah.
No, they were two runs down, so they needed him on base. The thing is, no, he didn't get hit. But the thing is, if he gets on base, don't you run for him anyway?
Oh.
Because he's a tying run.
Exactly. Okay.
I don't think they would have run for him either. I just, you know, he just was not going to take him out. I'm like, I hope the ring is big.
Well, yeah, it has to go over all those dislocated fingers from being a catcher. Okay. Well, anyway, so that happens, and Sawamura pitches well, and the Giants are in the Japan Series, and they have very short rest, turn things around.
Yeah, they got through easily. I thought, you know, I also wrote about the little guys coming through. I wrote a story about that for the paper about Shigeyuki Furuki.
Yeah. The series. I mean, he had a tremendous series.
Yeah, Takayuki Terauchi, RBI in game five, and then two-run single in second inning. And those are guys you think, okay, well, we got to get these guys out because the other guys are the ones who are going to kill us. They're harder to keep off base. We really have to keep these guys neutralized.
Matsumoto had a couple of big at bats for him. Fujimura had a big at bat for him in the series. And not that I don't think they won that game, but he had a big at bat. Now, it was interesting. And here's the thing about the whole series. I'm just going to pick on the way things are done in Japan again for the hold on, I got my counter right here. This is the 132,656th time I picked on the way things are done in Japan.
Nothing much.
I've been counting 28 years, so, you know, give me some slack. Anyway, but this time is the MVP of the series.
Oh, yeah. What a joke.
Okay. Now, here's, you know, when my man Dave Houston wrote the preview for the Japan series, he wrote about the Giants starting pitchers, and he wrote about the Fighters starting pitchers, and he wrote about the Fighters Climax Series MVP, Yoshio Itoi. Well, what a surprise. The Giants Climax Series MVP was never mentioned in the story.
Yeah, and he might not get an at-bat.
Why is that? Because he only batted three times in the Central League Climax Series. He made contact at least twice. One time he lined out to short. Another time he had a less impressive, the ball he put in play was less impressive than that, but it got over the infield for a two-run sayonara single. And he was, therefore, MVP.
Yeah.
Broken back MVP.
Yeah, you know, I didn't understand that either. And I thought it should have been Sawamura for the way he pitched in game four because he really got him going.
Right.
Obviously, what was the comment you had last week was the momentum question that was asked of Scott Matheson. And, of course, if they don't win, they don't have any momentum because they're going home. Or their momentum is gathered up on their way home to some of them have packed and go back to the States. Some of them to just go on vacation. So, yeah, I didn't get that.
No practice tomorrow. Pick up your momentum. Pick up your momentum at the door.
Yeah, I didn't get that. And the other thing I noticed is Takagi was really relaxed in those first three games. And like we talked about, I don't think he had, you know, an expectation of winning the three games. But then once the pressure was on, he really didn't help his team get over the hump.
Yeah. Well,
and I could see a difference in him and his demeanor on the bench. The first three games, he was really relaxed, just sitting there soaking it up. From game four on, was really tight. I mean, you could even I could sense some stress and some consternation there and on his face, and you know, they show him and he looked really, really tight, and it just seemed like he didn't know exactly what to do. And then it reminded me that, you know, he was the manager when they finished second twice in the 90s, right?
Well,
including one time at the end of the season where they all, you know, they had a home game against the Giants, and
right.
it was the final game of the season, and they couldn't win it at home.
They needed to beat the Giants to tie them and send the season to a one-game playoff.
Yeah, and they lost.
They lost, yes. So that was he was the mantra this year with Takagi was that he really didn't do anything. And I think I may have touched on this before because Gondo mentioned this to me in May when I spoke to him, that essentially, and I think we mentioned it last week.
Yeah, you did.
Took the team that Ochiai, the players who had been used to running things, you know, training and doing everything on their own under Ochiai, and just let them play. Well, that worked. It worked well, but as soon as, anyway, it did work well, and as soon as he got involved, it proved that it was a problem. I don't think he was a, I don't think managers are that big a deal, but when you get to a series where when you get into a short championship series, a knockout series where every game is crucial, every decision is therefore magnified, yeah, a small difference can really kill you. I mean, I think this is where somebody like Sadahara Oh was a terrible postseason manager.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was just horrible. He just he had a team that should have slaughtered the Tigers in 2003 and should have, you know, cut them up for fish bait or something. But here's a series that goes 7 games that had no business going that way just because he couldn't make up, you know, he couldn't manage the team. And Takagi's probably one of those managers. He's okay as long as the players are out executing and he leaves them alone. But as soon as he needs to make a decision at a crucial time, he's mediocre. Hara's was like that to a great extent, although he's improved quite a bit.
Haven't you thought so? Well, let me finish my thought about Takagi and then we'll get to Hara. I just thought he didn't help them get over the hump. I don't know that he hindered them. Right. I don't know that he got in the way so much as he just didn't help them get over the hump. They needed him to come through, and it seemed like every decision he made was the wrong one. But yeah, we talked about how Hara was not a good postseason manager, and he's done some things that I've had questions about, obviously, during this postseason, but he certainly has gotten better.
Oh, sure. You know, I don't know if he has gotten better. I've noticed it during the season a little bit, but again, one of Hara's strengths, I think, is that he talks, you know, he believes that he's stressing the little things. And I think he does believe in stressing the little things and the details, but his managing is sort of the opposite. You know, he talks about the details, but his strength is in the big things. His strength, his command of the tiny details of the game, perhaps from a player's perspective, in what a player is big, and I have no opinion about that, but his grasp of the tiny details of how a manager can win a specific game are pretty basic. He did the one thing that I do like from him as far as his tactics go is that his bench is almost always very well configured. I think Hara uses his bench as well as any manager in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Since he became Giants manager in 2002, he took a team that was old and decrepit and had no purpose for most of the players on the roster. He said, I don't know what he said to the players, but he found roles for people where they could contribute, and he found ways of squeezing speed into the team. And he, from 2002, the noticeable thing about the Giants was they had at least three guys on the bench who could really run. And that has increased over the years. So now they've got players in the starting lineup who can actually run, which wasn't the case in 2002. So he's a big believer in having speed on the bases. He uses a lot. He probably uses more pinch runners than any manager in Japan, which I do like. He's conscious of that stuff, and he does it well. I guess my major complaint with him is in his, sometimes of his choice of relievers, and sometimes his choice of pinch hitters is, pretty rudimentary. I think, picking him out of a hat would almost be better than what Hara does.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of that. All right. Well, a couple things before we go on to the Japan series. One was that, now we were joking around about it, but the Dragons did fire Hiroshi Gondo, their pitching coach, after another rift with Morimichi Takagi, the skipper. I guess a clash is what the newspapers called it. So after the CLCS, he got sent out. And then during the series, I think after the Dragons went up 3-1, our correspondent in Tokorozawa, Mike, sent us a question. And it's moot now, but we will bring it up because he sent it to us on the Facebook page. And he said, would this have been the biggest upset in Japan playoff history had the Dragons beaten the Giants? And, you know, before certainly I didn't want to be a prisoner of the moment and say yes, 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 because it seemed to me that they were outclassed. But these teams played pretty much even in the regular season. I didn't think that they were that far apart in terms of head-to-head battles. But the thing that I remembered was the 2005 Marines under Bobby Valentine and how they went down and won that second stage playoff series in Fukuoka against a pretty good Hawks team. You brought up the 2010 Marines who won the Japan series coming from third place.
Yeah, coming from needing to win the last three games of the 2010 season to reach third place. And then sweeping the Lions in Tokorozawa, which is kind of like their second home park anyway.
Yeah.
And then playing the Hawks very, very tough, and then winning the first two games of the They win the first two games. No, I guess they only won the first game of the Japan series. Okay. Yeah, that was pretty good. There's another one, and I'm struggling to recall what year it was because I wasn't living in Japan. We'd have to ask Wayne Grassick about the 1963 Japan series.
Well, I think we were just talking about the playoffs. I mean, I don't know that the Japan series certainly...
It's hard now because of the... I mean, before it was league champion against league champion. So I think, yeah.
And it was always the Japan series matchup, whereas now you have these playoffs. Yeah.
And in 2010, we had the first third place team ever, and the first third place team to win the climax series second stage and win two series on the road. Never happened to beat the Central League champion. Something that's never happened. So that might be the biggest postseason upset in Japanese baseball history. The other one might be the Nankai Hawks and Tadashi Sugiura throwing four complete games to the Giants in the Japan series.
Yeah, you keep including the Japan series, but I don't think we're talking postseason. We're not talking Japan series. We're just talking the playoffs.
Oh.
So since the 2004 or 5 that it was instituted in the Pacific League?
We can't count the 2010 Marines in the Japan series because that doesn't count.
No, because they went through the playoff stage first, so that it does count.
Okay, well anyway, yeah, I think the 2010 has to be one of the big upsets. There have been upsets in the season, but that's got to be a big one.
Yeah, but since it didn't happen, it's a moot point. They were on the verge. The Dragons were on the verge of getting through and pulling off this upset, but they weren't able to do it. So, but they had a good season, and obviously we're seeing now that the Giants really are a good team. And that my impression, as we move now to talk about the Japan series, is that the Central League is pretty strong, huh? You think?
Well, yes, I think it is, and I think there's a lot of things. Well, the Central League, I don't think it's the Central League that's so strong. I think it is, it's the Giants that are that strong.
Well, and, you know, I look at the way the Dragons neutralized some of their big hitters. You know, Sakamoto didn't kill them. Abe didn't kill them. Chono didn't kill them. And Takahashi didn't kill them. And those guys really went off in Game 1 in the Japan Series. And what were they? They were combined eight for 19, I think it was.
Well, they've been playing more recent than the Fighters have, is one thing. And although both they both had identical, I don't know how what their rest was before that, but yeah, it's always, I'll have to remind the listeners that before the Central League, about the Pacific League playoffs and decided to adopt it as their own, the Central League never won a series when the Pacific League teams were playing meaningful games.
Yeah.
So 2004, 2005, 2006.
When the layoff was about 2 weeks in between the last...
Yeah, it was sometimes 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So as soon as they stopped doing that, the Dragons win they beat the Fighters in five games.
In 2007.
And then the Central League wins again in 2009.
Giants.
Well, they haven't won. Okay, they haven't won since 2009, but that's all right. It's become balanced, certainly.
All right. So let's talk about Game 1 in the Japan Series. Tetsuya Utsumi starts against Mitsuo Yoshikawa of the Fighters. And I thought Yoshikawa wasn't sharp from the start. I tweeted it. I said, you know, they're hitting some balls really hard. He's not missing bats. He didn't look that great.
No, he was basically, he couldn't keep his pitches down. He was probably tight and not gripping them right because he was missing up. And, you know, you'd see they were calling for low pitches sometimes, and they just got up.
Yeah.
And pretty good.
And John Bowker, who appeared on the show earlier this season, had a great game. Now, my opinion about the number 8 hole, and I don't know if you've heard this.
I have no idea about your opinion about number 8s, but I think we're going to hear it.
Guys in the number 8 hole, I like to call the second cleanup spot. A lot of times,
okay. Early
in games, you'll come up, if somebody gets on, let's say, in the first inning, and your cleanup guy makes the last out, and somebody gets on in the second inning, you have that second cleanup guy who comes on, and normally there's one or two outs and there's guys on base, or if there are guys on base, you need a power guy in that spot, in my opinion. And I kind of liked Bowker in that spot, but then again, I didn't, because there's a left-handed pitcher starting with Yoshikawa. So I tweeted, I said, Bowker in the number 8 hole. Mr. Hara, what are we doing? Was basically the gist of what I emailed, tweeted. And then, boom, Bowker hits a 3 home. And I'm like, oh, it seemed like everything Hara did that night for that first page was just, it was picture perfect. He made all the right calls. All the guys he put in came through for him.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was weird how well things went for the Giants. It was absurd. You know, it was surreal.
Mm.
And as Mr. Houston called the story in his, the game in his story. And the thing here is that, you know, nobody expected Yoshikawa to be as bad as he was. I mean, he was very mediocre. He wasn't the, you know, he wasn't the guy you expect to do really well. And on the other hand, Utsumi was really good. And the Fighters just didn't have any. They couldn't figure him out. The Giants got a well-pitched game. The Fighters didn't. The Giants batters have a nice little rhythm going. People are in and out of the lineup. You know, you mentioned Furuki and Teruuchi. They're out of the lineup. They're playing. Yoshinobu Takahashi gets his first Japan Series hit since 2002. Everything's kind of going right for him.
Yeah, that's because he was too hurt to play in 2007, was it?
2008 and
2009,
yeah.
And then 2009, yeah. So, I'm sorry, yeah, 2008 and 2009. So, yeah, I was looking at all the numbers, and I'm like, well, everybody hit. Teruuchi even came up with another hit, so it was a good – he had him in the perfect position. As you said, Utsumi pitched well. And I thought they took him out at the perfect time because he had a big enough lead. It wasn't really necessary for him to go out there. Even though he was doing so well, you want to keep that rhythm, I would think. But
well, they had a nothing lead, so
yeah, but I still like, you know, in the playoffs you never know what can happen, and I like letting a guy like tonight. I thought, well, we'll get to that later on, but I thought he took him out at the right time. I think there was no reason for them to leave it in. It made for a snoozer kind of a game, but yeah, like I said, it just gave me the impression that the Dragons were really good at neutralizing some of the top batters for the Giants, and that. It just, like I said, it gave me a newfound respect kind of for the Central League because they really outclassed them in that game.
Well,
Now, granted, they had been sitting around a little bit longer because the Fighters finished off their second stage.
So they hadn't played since they hadn't played for 8 days. So that's a little bit more. But yes, did the Dragons neutralize them? Yeah, I think the Dragons did. I'll tell you, I think. You know, what did in the Dragons was essentially they just ran out of, you know, and I'll go back to harp on my big theory was, you know, their plan was just to throw out a pitcher the Giants hadn't seen.
Well, that's because, you know, of course, their ace, Yoshimi, was out with the broken elbow, and then Nakata went out as well. And he pitches well in that dome. He's got good numbers, as far as I recall, at Tokyo Dome. So, you know, without your top two pitchers, so to speak, I thought they did an admirable job and had – Let's imagine they had one of those two guys, Nakata or Yoshimi, for that series. I think it could have been a different situation.
Absolutely. I agree. But again, it was a very creative plan worthy of Ochai, using those different pitchers to start. Okay. And I think that got them through that. So anyway, yeah, congratulations to them for that, creativity. And that was probably Gondo's doing. I somehow doubt that Takagi had that much inspiration to manage anything so creative. He's really not a very clever guy, I don't think.
Yeah, but yeah, staying on the Japan series now, I think Chono, who had two hits, Sakamoto had two hits, Abe had two hits. You know, Bowker was one RBI with his five RBIs. He was one shy of a Japan series record. He hogged all the RBIs just about, but Abe had two. Yeah, it was a perfect game for him. They really didn't have to do much. Hada didn't have to do much in-game stuff once you get that three-run home run, that elusive three-run home run that a lot of Japanese teams never really play for.
When you get somebody on base, you create an out getting him to second base. So, as an aside, I once had a joke with Hideki Matsui. He was known as Mr. Two-Run 1 year because the Giants had two guys who were exceptionally good at getting on base at the top of their lineup, and Matsui was batting third, and their fourth had Masahiro Kawai was the number two guy, and this is a guy that like a career on base percentage of .360, but they had him bunt all the time. So the leadoff guy would get on, and Kawai would give up his .360 on base percentage to get him into scoring position, and Matsui would hit a home run. I said, if Kawai was running, they'd know you as Mr. Three Run.
So, yeah. It was like, so you like that? You like the second cleanup perspective?
Well, I do. If there's a if that's your plan, I think it can work. I mean, there are an interesting study Bill James did about 20 some odd years ago that basically his idea is that major league teams get the batting orders wrong because the average number of runs scored in the first and second innings combined is lower than the average number of runs scored in the next five when the first hitter is random. So the two innings when you can set up your lineup score less than the other five, something's wrong with your batting. But that's just the thought, I'm also a firm believer that batting order is essentially a psychological issue. You put guys, as long as a guy is comfortable where he is, that's a good place for him to be in the batting order.
Yeah, I think it's really situational. I mean, if guys are on base, you hit differently. If there's nobody on base, the pitchers pitch differently. If they're leading in the game, they pitch differently than when they're behind. I think it's situational. I think you can't make a batting order all the time based on what you think is going to happen. I think things change throughout the game.
Sure. And that's why
it doesn't matter.
Well, that's why it doesn't matter very much. And basically, anybody with an ounce of sense can make a batting order that's not the worst thing, and it's going to be very close to the best thing. Yeah. The only thing you have to be wary of is the fact that players are not ciphers, they're not computers. And you basically, the best batting order, as far as I'm concerned, is where a player is the optimal batting order is where you have nine guys who essentially think they're in the perfect spot in the order. They're in the spot in the order designed to make them the best hitter they can be.
Yep.
They perform as well, then hopefully they, ideally they perform as well as they can, and you get more production from the guys because they're not thinking about their being in the wrong position and they're being asked to play a role they're not familiar with. Because, you get hits and you do what you can do, you make the adjustments you can. You have to be in a good frame of mind.
Yeah, so I think with the 1-0 game that we had on Sunday night, maybe both managers are going to try to reconfigure their batting orders. great game for game two. The Giants win 1-0. Masaru Takeda had one pitch that, it was middle, about just below the belt. And I was surprised that Hiseyoshi Chono didn't hit it all the way to Okinawa, I think is what I tweeted. I don't know if you saw the replay, but as he came across home plate and he accepted the little doll or whatever it is, the little stuffed animal to throw into the stands, he poked his tongue out of his mouth like as if to say, wow, I didn't really get all of that and it went out. But then in the hero interview, he says, I got all of that. So I just think it was a pretty glib comment on his part. Now we know that those guys are not actually genuine when they get up there and start babbling on the podium there. I wanted to think that they were, but obviously they're not.
Newsflash. You must not go to a lot of Lions games then, where it's sort of a team contest to see who can make the biggest mockery of the post-game hero hitter.
Nice. But it's too bad Takeda lost that game. He threw his little heart out tonight. He had a season-high 11 strikeouts. He gave up just the one run on the home run. And then Sawamura has a great And this is the guy, if you remember back early in the preseason, I said, oh, who's the guy who's going to step up? I think it's and step up and be one of the top pitchers in Japan this year. Sawamura, remember I said that he was going to be the guy, and at least he found his form. It's been of late that he's found it, but 8 innings, 3 hits, 7 Ks. He hit 2 guys, but he didn't walk anybody.
Right. Now, here's the, yeah, which leads us to something else. He did hit 2 guys, and the funny thing is he hung Daikon was swinging when he hit him. And technically, when you're swinging, your hand's part of the bat. So I was actually half surprised that he was hit and it just wasn't called a foul ball, because it hit him right on the side of his hand. And Nakata got the same, although Nakata's bat, well, he hadn't crossed the plate. So it was interesting in that respect. But first of all, that happens first. We have 2 guys on, and Sauer pitches out of trouble. But he pitches much the way he did in the Climax series. He had pretty good, I'd say excellent movement with that. His fastball was not anything to write home about, but he was throwing it where he wanted to throw it.
He was locating, yeah, I agree. I mean, it wasn't even, it had a little bit of late movement, but it wasn't as hard as I've seen. But he was pinpointing in a couple places, and when he didn't pinpoint it, it was elevated to where guys couldn't get on top of it.
Right. Yeah. His command of his fastball was exceptional. His command of his slider was pretty good, and that was pretty much his whole game. So anyway, that worked well. So he gets out. He was never really in trouble. He got a little help from his defense. Shuichi Murata made a great play, playing as well as defense as he can, which is something we really never saw with Yokohama.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing is that as far as Masaru Takeda goes, here I think the problem with the pitch to Chono, because he made some other bad pitches in the game, the problem was it came too early in the game. It came when Giants batters were not completely and thoroughly confused.
Yeah.
That was the fourth inning. They had no idea. They were just going up with a bat and like trying to decide to swing at a pitch before he threw it, because they didn't seem to have any clue what was coming. They had no ability to recognize his pitches. He's such an unusual pitcher. You don't really see, I don't know anybody in the Central League who's quite like him.
Yeah, well, I don't see why he came out when he came out, though, because at the point he had thrown 6 innings, just the 1 run, and at the point he came out, and I thought both managers made their mistakes in this game tonight, and it was kind of frustrating to watch them plow through this thing, but if he's going to come out, you need to, he could have thrown the seventh inning because he was facing left-handed batters. The first 2 guys were left-handed.
And
he was due up next in the next inning.
Pitcher's spot was due up in the
top of the seventh.
Yeah. And, yeah, I was surprised. On the other hand.
Actually, it would have been the top of the eighth, right? Because he pitched 6 innings.
He pitched 6 innings.
So we're talking about the seventh inning.
Right, about the seventh inning. So he was due to pitch the bottom of the seventh.
Right. So his spot was due up in the top of the eighth.
So, right. Now, I do love the great thing about having Takeda pit. Well, of course, one thing is he doesn't normally pitch as well as he did, and his postseason record after his first Japan Series victory, his postseason record has been abominable.
And he's lost 4 straight now since 2007.
He's won 1 Climax Series game since then, but he's been pretty rotten every which way from Sunday in the postseason, except for 2 games.
Oh, yeah, I apologize. He's lost 4 straight in the Japan Series.
I think he's 1-2 in the Climax Series, apart from that, or 1-1 with an ERA about the size of my hat, you know, about my hat size.
Talking really big, then.
Talking big. And, okay, so you don't expect him to pitch as well as he did, but he was a monster. Now, of course, the switch to Ishii is wonderful because you have a left-hander whose fastball is, you know, it's about 11. It's got some good late movement on it, and it's a lot faster. I mean, of course, anybody's fastball would be a lot What a wonderful game. And then we get to the top of the ninth inning.
Yeah, now that was goofy because I'm thinking, okay, I don't mind. I thought Sawamura should have just gone ahead and finished it off. They weren't touching him. If he gets in any trouble at all, you got guys to come in and pitch one, like what they like to call 1 point, just come in and get a batter out and go on to the next guy. And meanwhile, Kuriyama's got 3 left-handed batters in a row coming up. You think he would pinch hit for somebody, and I think it should have been Hoffpower.
Uh-huh.
And so he sends up the first left-hander to face Yamaguchi, and he makes an out. And he sends up Hoffpower, and no surprise, he makes an out. Now Inaba gets on.
Right.
But he's the tying run. He's slow. Now, I know you lost Nakata. He had to come out of the game because of he took the pitch off of his hands, so he had to come out of the game. But you really should be pinch hitting for pinch running for Inaba. Had they done that, now, I don't think they were going to steal down a run, but there were 2 outs. What do you got to lose if you put a pinch runner in there? But they didn't put a pinch runner in. They don't do anything. Koyano, I guess it was, gets the single.
Well, Koyano had quite a game because he was 2 for 4, but one of his outs was a ground out to center.
Yeah, the old ground out to center.
It would be effectively scored as a fielder's choice that went 8 to 4.
Yeah, it was a fielder's choice.
So Inaba was on first base, and Koyano hit a fly to center field, which Chono made a good effort to get to, but he short hopped it essentially.
It was a soft liner, yeah. But Inaba should have gone halfway, and if you look at the replay, he didn't even go halfway. He was too close to first base.
He needed to be halfway, or he could even have gone a step further than halfway because the throw's longer to first base and it's a tough angle. But as it was, Chono was coming in, moving towards second base. He makes a nice flip throw from shallow center field to second base and force out at second. Now, in the big scheme of things, yeah, it's not a big deal. But anyway, Koyano did have a terrific night against a pitcher none of the other fighters could really touch.
Yeah. So then Kuriyama sends up Nioka, and they were just lucky that they got to that spot, because I thought Nioka should have been hitting for Hoffpower. And he kind of rushed the at-bat, but I thought, this was a bad decision for Hara, because I thought you don't send a guy up there with no experience, hardly any experience at all, to send out that. I mean, it worked out for him, and it's going to work out for you 7 out of 10 times probably to send up a guy like that. But I thought they just should have gone with Kentaro Nishimura.
Sorry, what experience doesn't he have?
He this is first Japan series game.
Well, I don't know. I think the way he pitched in the Climax series when they had their backs to the wall was pretty good. I was okay with that.
I loved the way he throws. I loved the whole thing. It's just that, one mistake in this thing and the whole thing blows up. So I would just put in a more experienced guy. That's all. But, I mean, he got out of it. But the thing is, and I wrote it on Twitter, and I said, this is a guy, Nioka. He hits those first pitch fastballs to right better than anybody, but he just got behind it. He didn't get enough of it, but he was all over it. He knew it was coming. He got the bat there. Matheson throws so hard, he supplied all the power. All you really have to do is get the head of the bat out there, and he did it. But
yeah, three years ago, and that's a home run.
Yep. Yes, indeed. So they get through, again, season high 11 Ks for Takeda, but he loses it now. This was the first ever in the history of Japan series, the first ever one-pitch save.
Yes, and let's see what else was. It was also the second game in Japan series history in which there were no walks by either team, although two fighters' batters got hit, which was unfortunate for them.
Yeah. All right, before we go.
To see Trainer for a while. So.
All right. Did you see Kuriyama, the post-game interview? He looked like he was going to cry. He was so upset. I mean, the first night he looked really, really angry and then embarrassed that his team had lost, 8-1. But after game 2, he looked like he wanted to cry. He looked there was a lot of bitterness there. And I don't know the history, but it seemed like he really was upset about losing to the Giants, especially in a 1-0 game.
I think he thought he had a better plan, or he didn't carry out the plan he wanted to carry out, but it was a hell of a game. And, you know, I think, you know, the key play is, you know, Chono gets that ball up, gets it in the seats, and the two starting pitchers are just right on their games, which is everything you want to see. But they lost 1-0. I mean, this game could have gone every different way possibly. So yeah, I'm good with it. It was exciting. So happy. The first game was a snooze. I'm glad it's over. Hopefully we won't see any more like it. For your information, we hadn't seen a 1-0 game in the Japan series for a long, long time.
You and I were there for it.
Yeah, exactly. 2007.
The combination perfect game.
Combined perfect game in game 4 in the clincher at Nagoya Dome.
Game 5.
Oh, excuse me, game 5, correct. Daisuke Yamai against Yu Darvish.
Yep. And base running blunderhead Hirata was the guy who knocked in the run that night. That's right. So, quickly before we go over here, I want to talk about the draft. How do you see the series going the rest of the way now? I see obviously the Fighters have to win 2 games at home to even get it back to Tokyo Dome. I don't have confidence that they're going to do that, but I think they're going to win one of the games. But DJ Holton, as I recall, and we can look up the numbers and we'll post them on the Facebook page or something at some point. I think he pitches really well there. He's got a history, and that's why Hada decided to start Sawamura at Tokyo Dome in this game. But I think maybe it's going to be fewer than the 7 games that I predicted that the Giants are going to wrap this thing up.
Oh, yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, this is all a case of are the Giants the stronger team? I don't think there's any doubt the Giants are the stronger team. And being the case, you know, coming back from 2 down is hard, but again, it's not impossible. The only question is how quickly, you know, the Fighters just get over it and say, we can win this even if Nakata is out of the lineup, because guys can just step up their game and concentrate and get the job done. So can it happen? Sure. I really doubt the Fighters can win it. I was seeing somebody saying the Giants have a 77% chance of winning the series, which is based on what moron put that together. Well, the person who counted up all the Japan series in which one team had lost had won the first 2 games and figured that in the past, the team winning the first 2 games had won 77% of the time.
Which is
saying the Giants have a 77% chance is asserting something that you have absolutely no idea.
Stathead.
You have no idea what the chances of winning are. So it's just ridiculous. Anyway, in any case, that was exactly the case last year. Bank Hawks lost the first 2 games at home, which one would think would be worse than winning the first 2 games on the road, but it doesn't appear to be.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think if the Fighters win game 3 with Brian Wolf, I think maybe Tadano gets a start. If they don't, I think they bring Yoshikawa back on 3 days rest, because he only threw 4 innings in that first game anyway. And I think that's what happens, but we'll have to see. Let's talk about the draft real quick. Let's touch on that. The draft took place Thursday. Cool. The Fighters decided to take the much-heralded Shohei Ohtani, the big pitcher from Iwate Prefecture, which was kind of goofy or perplexing to me, because that's going to mean that if he doesn't sign with them and he decides to go to the States like he has said that he wants to do, that'll mean 2 consecutive years that they will have picked the guy in the first round and they come away basically with nothing.
Yep, that's what the Fighters do. And
But they proved that they don't need any.
Well, that's another case. They don't need any in the years in which the Hawks have lost a big chunk of their talent. they think they can sign Ohtani. They think they can convince him. Who knows? I mean, who knows? Anything's possible, I guess. Now, I have, of course, as everyone knows, our listeners, most of our listeners know, I really despise, drafts in general and the Japanese draft in particular, because it's trying to be everything at once to everybody. And it's just an enormous waste of talent and energy. It's a lot like not announcing your starting pitcher.
Yeah, we talked about it last year. We both hate this draft. It's a farce. Now, Higashihama is going to the Hawks. These are the big four. These are the big four draft picks that were talked about most. And they're all pitchers.
What a shock.
What a shock. Shintaro Fujinami, the Tigers, he's going to his hometown team. He's from the Kansai area, so he gets to go there. And the Giants got their man, Tomoyuki Sugano, whom the Fighters chose last year, and he declined to even meet with them and sit down, which Ohtani also did this year. He declined to even meet with representatives of the team who went up there to talk to him. So, interesting. Did you notice the Yokohama Bay Stars draft? They picked
picked a Komazawa University guy, which is Nakahata's school. Other than that, I didn't. Nothing stood out. Tell me what.
They picked university and corporate guys only, and they picked guys ranging from 22 to 26.
Okay, sounds like they have a plan.
Yeah, the plan might be to get guys who can help them as quickly as possible, and they don't have to get them ready physically so much, and they're ready that way. The other thing I wanted to touch on was the fact that MPB was discussing wiping out the Tozawa rule. Which was created when Junichi Tozawa went to the Boston Red Sox out of the corporate league.
My take on it wasn't that they're trying to wipe it out, because the story, representative of the Hiroshima Carp was saying the opposite. We're not trying to get rid of it, but we're looking for better alternatives. Now, what was discussed at the meeting on Saturday was, what happens to the Fighters' rights to Tozawa if he, you've got me.
Oh, yes, Ohtani.
With Shohei Ohtani, if he does sign with a major league team, they don't really have a plan for that. Essentially the rule is whenever Ohtani comes back, John Gibson or whoever refuses an MPB contract offer after the draft and then plays abroad will be banned if he's a high school player for 3 years after he returns to Japan. So let's say he's 27 years old or he's 30 years old. He's not good enough to play in the major leagues. He wants to come back to Japan. He might as well go to Korea because Japanese teams have agreed and they have signed an agreement that says they will not offer him a contract for 3 years. Now, if he left as a corporate league player like Tozawa, although the rule cannot apply to Tozawa because it was made after Tozawa left, after the fact. It was made before that he was signed, but he was also not drafted.
Yeah.
Because there's a constitution. Japan, people in Japan have a constitutional right to work. And for them to say, sorry, we don't want to employ you because we don't like the way you treated us, even though you're good and we could use you, but we're just going to punish you. Hold up in court for about as long as you could hold your breath. So anyway, they were discussing possible alternatives to that rule. Essentially, if there's something better, we should do that.
Right. And I mean, yeah, 3 year sentence like that to a player, that's a death now. So you're right. They might as well go to Korea or go to Australia or Italy or something. Follow Gigi Sato over to Italy.
So that's the thing is let's keep more talent. I mean, they've got a draft already, which keeps talent out of the Japanese game because Sugano should have been pitching in Japan last year. And it keeps players from maximizing their talent because the Fighters drafted somebody and they got nothing. And now they're threatening people who don't want to go into that convoluted system with ruining their careers. And that's also more inefficient. So it's like the Three Stooges are running the show.
Yeah.
It's like, what what can we do to compound the nonsense we're already doing? Let's make stupid rules so that other people won't criticize our nonsense.
All right. Yep. All right. So, let's see. Real quickly, Jason Koskrie of the Japan Times, he picked the Giants to win in six games. Michael Westbay picked the Fighters to win in five games. I originally had the Giants in seven. And what did you say last week?
I probably had the Fighters.
I think you had the Fighters in six.
Sounds about right.
All right. So quickly, if you feel like it, send us your predictions for the rest of the series. Use an MP3 or just send them in by email. Send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com and we can play that on the show. Or just yell at us for talking too much and not having any interviews. Hopefully Jim will get some interviews up in Hokkaido when he's there. He can talk to John Valker and Scott Matheson real quick and get us some interviews while you're up there. Have a good trip, buddy.
I will indeed. I'll hopefully watch the World Series tomorrow before I go. So enjoy.
All right. Yeah, we got Giants everywhere. This is terrible. You New York Giants won the Super Bowl. We got San Francisco Giants on the verge of a World Series, and the Yomiuri Giants looks like they're steamrolling toward a Japan Series championship. Ugh, too much Giants out there.
My New York Giants? My New York Giants moved to San Francisco in 1958, dude.
They're all the same to me.
That's your problem, then. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, see you on the flip side, guys.
All right, enjoy your baseball.